And now on Tucson Business Radio, let's find out how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise with your host, Karen Fisher.
Good morning. This is Karen Fisher, your hostess with the mostest, broadcasting the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise show from Tucson Business Radio X. We're in the which is in the corporate offices of Stewart Title, right off of Broadway. We have a very fabulous guest today, and who has been a friend of mine for many years, and I would like to introduce Roxanne Hawley.
Thank you, Karen, and good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad that you're here. So, Tucson, we have had, this is the craziest weather the past 3 days. They've been saying that, they said that supposedly there's snow up on Mount Lemmon.
I did hear that it was snowing, yes.
Where did that come from? And you're looking at it, and just as far as the rain, it's been great. Great to make our allergies go away. The other thing is that people in Tucson are really, they're really funny about driving in the rain. As I was heading on my way over here, I was speaking to a mutual friend of ours, Amy Graves, and I'm like, there was this car in front of me on Wilmot going like 10 miles an hour. I'm like, oh my gosh, please get off the road. If you can't drive, get off the road. But anyhow, I guess that's in every city. So there you go. But so what we are going to be talking about today, which I hope people take note and realize about the resources and the things that are available to them within Tucson, is definitely about entrepreneurship. So first and foremost, your information about your bio is going to be up on the website, but just to give you some, our listeners, some instant stats, if you will, Roxanne is a money person too. She's a numbers person. She has actually had very long-standing career with the Easter Seals Blake Foundation. You retired from there as the chief financial officer after 31 years of being with the agency.
Yeah.
Tell me, because I know you know these by heart, but tell me some of the stats when you first started with was it the Blake Foundation and then became Easter Seals, or Easter Seals Blake? How did that all work?
Actually, it was the Cerebral Palsy Foundation of Southern Arizona when I began. And I always say I grew up with the agency because I was very young when I started with the agency. The agency was very small. We had about 35 employees. We had just gotten to $500,000 a year budget. And we're really, it was really quite in its youth, even though it had actually began in 1950. When I retired just under 2 years ago now, we had over 950 employees and a $44 million a year budget, and providing services all over Southern Arizona. Just amazing. It's an amazing organization.
It is an amazing organization, and your leadership, certainly, especially when you're talking about, as you know, nonprofit companies does not mean non-revenue, and people don't get that, and they don't understand how truly important it is to run a nonprofit like a business. You've got to run it like a business.
Absolutely.
Which segues into the other part of what you've been able to do is in that field of entrepreneurship. So talk about your journey, like that getting bit by the entrepreneur bug is something that, I mean, I think it just finds you, right?
Right. Well, actually, you know, it's always been, I think, something that's been in me, right? The desire to be entrepreneurs and, you know, do something that I could really, really grab a hold of and just run with, right? And when I found my career with the agency, the Easter Seals Blake Foundation, which was started as Cerebral Palsy Foundation, I ran with that, and that was awesome. That was really an awesome experience, and I got both of my degrees while working for the agency, so I did both my undergrad and my MBA.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and so when...
In your spare time, when you're raising two girls.
Right, raising a family, which is always full-time, having a full-time job and going to school full-time, yes. That was a great achievement. And when I was introduced to this particular business that I'm with now, which is ACN, I saw an opportunity for me to be able to build something on the side, right? Like while I was still in my career position, but I could also build this thing of my own, right? Kind of a company within a company. So under an umbrella, I was able to build my own business. And then a couple years ago, was able to transition to doing my business full time. And that's just been an amazing journey. It really has.
Well, and part of that, what's happening, there's a lot of information, different articles. They're calling it the gig economy. And one of the things that I think is really, really interesting is at, and I'm going to look at, we've got some interesting statistics, especially for women entrepreneurs. Right now, as far as the statistics, there are 114% more women entrepreneurs than there were 20 years ago. And again, 20 years ago, is not that, I mean, it just goes by in a blink of an eye. And this is an interesting statistic also. 62% of women entrepreneurs cite their business as their primary source of income. So that's an amazing statistic.
Right.
And private tech companies. So this is how people are busting through the glass ceiling, the proverbial glass ceiling, not really going through it because they're not the, you know, the Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies, the numbers are still very, very low. So that's fine. We're just going around it and up and doing it on our own. Private tech companies led by women achieve 35% higher return on investment, ROI. And women-founded companies in the first round of capital portfolio outperformed companies founded by men by 63%.
Wow.
So some really interesting statistics. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, there's a lot that we can learn from each other. But it's really kind of recent that women are in the business world. And so many of us, I too worked full time while raising our daughter. And I can remember saying to my mom out of complete frustration, my mom, God love her, rest her soul. She's been gone for 16 years now. But I remember saying to my mom, I'm standing in the middle of the office break room when I was at Nova Home Loans. I'm in the, and I'm on the phone with her and I'm like, "You lied to us. Your generation lied to us." She's like, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "You said we can have it all. And I'm telling you, everybody has it all except for me. I am stressed to the max." So let's talk about some of the things. What are some of the things that you found that was great? What are the things that you found that was really, really difficult? Because going to school, raising a family, plus working full time in a for an agency that, you know, it's exploding in terms of growth.
Right, right. Well, you know, for me, it was really focusing, right, on a particular path or goal at every, at, you know, at different intervals in my life, right? So while I was raising my girls, my goal was to be able to provide the best life I could for them, right? And I knew that at that time, that meant, that meant continuing my education. And therefore, I went back and made sure that I got the degrees I needed in order to be able to get the job that I needed to be able to provide the lifestyle that I wanted to for my girls.
So tell me about your 2 degrees. I know you said your MBA, but what was your undergraduate in?
It's a bachelor's in business administration.
Okay.
Yep. You know, but the environment, the work environment, the job environment, all of that has changed so dramatically, which, you know, has lent itself to the stats that you quoted, right? You know, it used to be you go to school, you get a good, you get good grades and you get a good job and you get a good position, make good money and you retire. And that just doesn't really happen that much anymore. There are some industries that may still hold true, but they're pretty finite, I think.
I'm not really seeing it. As a mortgage loan officer, you know, one of the things that's so interesting and really the reason why I started the radio show, my own broadcast, I've done radio on and off for about 20 years, but the reason why we're doing this exclusive show is that I see everything as a loan officer.
Right.
I literally ask the questions your mother told you weren't allowed to ask, such as how much money do you have in the bank? How much do you make? Right. Oh, and what's your date of birth. And oh, by the way, you have to prove it to me. You know, you can't just, there's no faking it. So what I'm seeing with my clients, you know, and literally I've done thousands and thousands of loans, but what I'm seeing with my clients consistently is that very few people have been at the same job for a number of years, and very few people have a pension. The pension piece has been replaced by the 401k, so either the Roth or the 401k. In addition, those that are savvy entrepreneurs also, and this is on the, you know, so with the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, one of the other things that they're doing, it allows you to open a SEP IRA account. Now, I'm not a SEP IRA. It's SEP, Self-Employed Pension Plan. So there's some things that you can do to make sure that you're taking care of yourself within retirement. And I'm also seeing a lot of people not retiring. Like, you technically retired, but you're not sitting at home in a rocking chair just scheduling golf dates every day. It's not, that's not what's happening. And it's not what's happening for most of my clients. There, it's more like an Act Two, or in some cases an Act Three. Of clients that have had multiple great careers, and they're like, what do I want to retire for? Like, I want to do things differently. I want to travel.
Exactly.
But what am I going to do in retirement, quote unquote?
And that's another example of the change in the environment, right? We don't retire anymore. We do something different.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, in my example, right, my career with the organization was fabulous. It was wonderful. It was a great experience.
And I know
was,
you still support them
so absolutely.
Much.
They'll forever be in my heart and my soul. And the CEO and I are still very good friends, and that will always be the case. However, as I, you know, got to a certain age and the environment changed, I realized that I wanted a different way of life for the second half of my life, right?
Yeah.
I wanted more time freedom. I wanted less stress, you know, and so this vehicle that I found was great for me to build that and do that with. And that's where entrepreneurship comes in, right? Is when we want to have a different kind of life. Either we want to control, you know, what our earning potential is. We don't want that to be in the hands of someone else. We want to control our schedule and our time and have the time, money, freedom, or flexibility of that time. There's all kinds of reasons why people get into entrepreneurship. But definitely the landscape is very, very different than when we were were kids
when
and our parents
started,
were in the workforce. Yeah, absolutely. And the women, the increase in women in all positions and in entrepreneurship has really grown. And what's really, I think, been fantastic is what I see, especially in Tucson, is the support and the culture within the community with women, supporting women in business and really lifting them up and everyone coming from a perspective of abundance rather than scarcity. And competition.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that at all. There's enough out there for all of us.
Yes, there is.
And when we work together, we accomplish so much more. And women are proving that every single day.
Yes. And one of the things that I'm reading right now, Darren Hardy's book, The Entrepreneur Roller Coaster. And I think it's interesting that one of the things that he talks about as far as his passion and some of the things that he's, which I just think is fascinating, people are like, I just don't feel that passionate about it. And his comment in the book, he says, everybody's got the passion. You just need to, it's like electricity. You just have to flip the switch on. It's always there, the passion. And then he talked about four areas of where the passion might come from. One of them, which Simon Sinek has written about, you know, finding your why. That's one reason.
Right.
But it could be other things. There's the four things. So I'm going to tease our listeners. Make sure you get the book, Entrepreneur Roller Coaster, Darren Hardy. And then I also had the profound opportunity. I was at, you know, part of the thing that happens, I know, with you, obviously with your 2 degrees and other things that you've done, is you have a growth mindset, not a fixed mindset.
Correct.
So let's talk about mindset, about that. When starting your business, talk about your mindset.
I think that's so important. And I think it plays into what you're talking about also, is finding that desire, that motivation, that passion, right? I think for me, from my experience, I've always been about learning and growing. That's one of the reasons why I was able to stay with the agency for 31 years, because the agency was growing. So I had a great opportunity to grow with the agency.
Yes, because if it had stayed the same that it was when you first started, you wouldn't have been there. I already know that.
Right. Yeah. I couldn't have stayed there. I couldn't have stayed and done the same thing all the time. And so in my journey of personal growth and professional growth and learning, I have found passions that I didn't know were there before. But it just really just opens up so much that we don't even know is there within us.
That is absolutely for sure. And so one of the things that's happening that I'm finding is I see, especially with families that have somebody as far as an entrepreneur, like so many of my clients have what starts out as a side gig, if you will,
a side hustle,
and then the next thing you know, it's becoming their full. But oftentimes, the quote side hustle starts out with they have a family, and either the mom or the dad. I'm seeing lots of dads staying at home with their kids.
Yes,
that didn't really happen all that long ago. That before that was like a weird thing. That dad's going to stay home with the children.
What's wrong with him?
Yeah, what's wrong with him? No, I see people that are able to do things, and I think that technology is truly the great equalizer. There's no longer, not that Tucson has lots of high rises, but there's not that ivory tower. There's not where you have to have a key to the executive washroom anymore. I see people, because again, I see their bank statements. I see people that you would just think, honestly, you would think that they were perhaps paupers. But I'm looking at their accounts and I'm seeing their tax returns and what they're able to do from, in some cases from their homes is staggering. There's a lot of money there.
Yeah. And entrepreneurship, provides a variety of things to a family. So to a household income, right? It can just be, a side hustle and having an additional income stream. It can also help diversify the income streams so that people don't have all their eggs in one basket, right? Which is really, really important. I mean, we make sure that we diversify our investment portfolio, but people don't always think about diversifying their income. And most households, as you know, aren't that far away from bankruptcy if their income from their main gig
goes away. Yes, no,
in,
definitely.
Right?
Yeah, a lot of my clients on the flip side of it is that they are literally, if they missed a paycheck, they wouldn't be able to make their monthly bills.
Exactly. And there's a number of reasons why that can happen, right? There can be an injury in the family. There can be, a job reduction so there's a number of reasons why that can happen. And then also, it also provides an opportunity or a way for people to build something else, like you were saying. It can build into something that's much bigger and can really provide the lifestyle that they want to have.
Well, and that's what happened with you. I remember it started small. So
yes.
Tell us a little bit about ASEAN and what your, what your journey has been.
So I was introduced to ASEAN while I was still at the agency. I've been with them now for about 7 years. It's a wonderful company. They are a company that have been around for 26 years and have grown into 26 countries and still growing. And it's a great concept. The four co-founders are just, I think they're not only are they brilliant, four brilliant men who really work well together, but I love what they stand for and their hearts that they have. And so they're truly in it to provide what they would have liked somebody to provide for them when they were just getting started building for their families. And they've held true to their word, to all their words, really, that all the promises that they've set forth when they began this company 26 years ago. And so basically, ASEAN is an umbrella company that allows people like myself and others to become an independent business owner and be able to be in trillion-dollar industries that otherwise would be cost prohibitive, right? Like I would not be able to be in the energy business, with gas and electricity. I would not be able to be in the telecom business with cell phones, right? Or internet, or all of these services, credit card processing, ID theft protection services. I couldn't have my own business for just one of those industries if I had to put all that money out of my pocket myself. But they've set it up so that people like myself can jump in at a very reasonable one-time cost to get involved. And then you have your own online store. It's a personalized online store that they set up for you. They maintain it. And then all you do is get customers to come to your store for the services they're already paying for. And in the process, we help feed hungry kids. We support Ronald McDonald houses.
I love the Ronald McDonald house.
And we help families get a better value on things they're paying for anyway. And we are helping giving people an opportunity to build something for themselves if they choose to. So there's just so many wonderful positives about this business that I absolutely love.
Well, and with you being a numbers person to begin with, so, I mean, let's just be frank about that, is that you looked at the information and the numbers had to make sense, because if it didn't make sense, I mean, you were in charge of this huge budget and you know what line item budget items. And then the other side of it that I know really meant a lot to you coming from the nonprofit world and the number of families that you've helped and some of the stories within Tucson, you've seen both the best and the worst in humanity. Right. Through Easter Seals, some, you know, especially the foster families and some of the horrific things that some of those kids came from, and
that's
now
right.
They're thriving and what they're doing. So the business had to be with both. So
exactly, and when I looked at it from a business sense, it was absolutely a no-brainer. And then from the giving back sense, I mean, that just it to me that was just like the icing on the cake. Right? Here's a no-brainer business. And then they're also giving back. And one of the things I love about our Project Feeding Kids, which is one of our big ways that we give back to the community.
Yeah, so that's Project Feeding Kids.
It's Project Feeding Kids. And we work with food banks across the nation to feed hungry kids right here in North America. And the way we do that is every time we acquire a customer, a donation gets made and a child gets fed. And on certain services, every month when our customers pay their bill, we're making a donation and children are getting fed. And I think that's just awesome. The thing I really like about that is that I think that most people, especially in the Tucson community, I think we're probably more so than I'm familiar with in any other community, we're very big on giving.
Very much so.
Very mm-hmm. much so. And I think there are many people who would like to give, but they can't because they have a budget they have to live within. Right? We talked about people living from paycheck to paycheck. And they're just not able to do it. This allows them that opportunity to be able to give back just by paying a bill they're going to pay
that they're going to be
anyway.
Paying anyway. So it's the cable,
right.
The television.
Yeah.
You know,
so they
internet.
Get to be involved in that giving, you know, without causing detriment to their household budget. And I love that.
Yes. And well, and then for the businesses, because, you know, with this being, you know, the Tucson Business Radio X, one of the things for the businesses within all of Tucson is the merchant services. Because now the name is, it's am I correct, it's Sphere?
It's Sphere.
I can't, why do I have such an issue saying that word, but I do. Sphere. Okay.
Because SPH should not be together in the same word.
No, it just should not. It just really should not. However, you can write it. You can easily write it. But I have a friend of mine who is an auto mechanic. And he, of course, you know, a lot of times with auto bills, people are putting that on their credit card or their debit cards. And the fees were huge. And he has shared openly how, wow, he looked at that and it's a huge amount of savings for him as far as a business. So
absolutely.
That's super, super important. So let's talk a little bit of what is it that you think scares people about becoming an entrepreneur? Like I hear some people say, oh, I could never work for myself, or I could never do that, whatever that is.
Right. Well, I think really most of the reasons go back to one core issue, which is fear, right? And that usually stops us mm-hmm. in whatever area of life that we have a tendency to not take that step forward. And I think it's really true with entrepreneurship. I think people have a fear, and there are fears around the security of having somebody write you a paycheck every month or every 2 weeks or whatever it is. Although that security is really not that secure anymore like it used to be.
No.
But some people still do have some sense of security in that. I think also, I think information is a big one. I think people have a fear because they don't know, right? Like what we don't know scares us. And so, people, that's why I like to encourage personal and professional growth and learning, because it opens up our mind to be open to hearing the information. And then people can make an informed decision. What bothers me the most, what bothers me the most is when people are looking for an opportunity and yet they won't hear the information that they can make an informed decision. And they decide before they know. They decide based on one or two things or something somebody else told them that isn't even maybe doing the business, but they'll make a decision based on that, and they don't have all the information.
Oh, I run into that in the lending world all the time.
I'm sure you do.
But a prime example, I've got, one of the things that I have shared with my clients, and I share with those when people come in, is that I'm just here to give you some options and choices. Once you know the facts, then you can make a sound business decision. That's regarding your mortgage, but it's regarding your business anybody's business. And actually, you also need to have a plan. It's like, what's that executable plan? But when I have clients that come into my office, and many of mine, maybe with higher education and things like that, they do a lot of shooting on themselves. They think that they should know. Well, if you've spent your time becoming a veterinarian or a physician or you run a business, why should you know about the mortgage industry?
Right.
Like, what makes it's not, if you were to pick me up and plop me into, let's say, Raytheon, okay, Karen, no training, here, go be an engineer, what would I do? I'd just stand there. And so when I let people know that it's totally, it's not only fine, it's encouraged and it's necessary for them to ask questions. I do more loans in 1 week than the average American does in their entire lifetime.
Wow.
So it's very easy, because my business is an acronym alphabet soup. It's really easy for me to get into mortgage speak. And
right.
So I have to have them, stop. And I even see this even with certain people that are just starting businesses. They'll talk about, a balance sheet, and they'll talk about ROI, and they'll talk about this, that, and the other. And people who maybe never got any type of business training, they're embarrassed because they think that they should know what ROI means.
Right.
It means return on investment. They can understand return on investment, but in articles, they'll just talk about what's ROI. So,
yeah. And, one of my goals is always sharing opportunities with people to, so that they may be able to have some information to make an informed decision to help their families, right? Whether it's in my business or another business. And I think people are afraid to say, no, I'm not interested, once they get the information. And I think that's what closes off that open-mindedness.
Mm.
Because, what if they tell me, I let them share this information with me, and then it's not for me.
No?
Yeah, and I say no, and then they're going to have their feelings hurt, or they're not going to, I'm going to have to try to get away from them, or, whatever their fear is around saying no. And, for professionals like yourself and me, we know that, we're here to share the information. And if they want to work with us, great. But if we're not the right fit, that's okay.
That's exactly what I tell people.
Find the right person for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I just want to just share with our listeners, if you're just tuning in or if you're forwarding this broadcast, again, this is Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise with my wonderful guest, Roxanne Holly, and long-term friend, I must say. And we are broadcasting from the studio. We're in the corporate offices of Stewart Title. And again, the show is Tucson Business Radio X. So behind the scenes with me, I have an entrepreneurial spirit. Even though I work under the umbrella of Summit Funding, as far as my company, I am responsible, 100% responsible for the business that I bring in. Okay. So the way that that works in the lending industry, you've got behind the scenes for every new loan transaction. And I think this freaks people out a little bit. But, and of course, I'm a numbers geek through and through. I sat down and I counted. So bare bones minimum, just with single loan transaction, there's over 75 people that touch a file, whether it's a purchase or a refinance transaction from start to finish. And people are like, how is that possible? Well, we're here at the title company, but you've got the title examiner, you've got the escrow officers, you've got title insurer, you have the Pima County floodplain, Pima County assessor's office, Pima County treasurer's office. Even if you're doing a transaction for cash, there's still so many moving parts. We are very, very lucky and blessed that we live in the United States, that we have private property rights. Because if you really think about it, the majority of the world does not have private property rights. And even those countries that do have private property rights, because they don't have a mortgage security system, the mortgage-backed securities, you'll hear about Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, you know, the Fannie Mae bonds or Ginnie Mae bonds, which is how the money flows through the world, through the United States. I should qualify that. So basically, like we have family members who live in Mexico, specifically in Cancun, and Pam and her husband, they were able to purchase a home, but all of the loans were variable interest rate, and they could range anywhere from 5% to, get this, math person that you are, 300%.
What?
Yes. Yes. And so you've only got it within the country of Mexico. I don't know what the actual statistics are now, but about 10 years ago, you only had 5% private property ownership within Mexico.
Wow.
And if, you know, so, you know, you think about it here. And then if we go into the United States, and this is something that I've shared with listeners before, I share it with some people, share it with our daughters. It really wasn't all that long ago. It was only in the 1970s before a woman could actually get a mortgage on her own without having either a certificate of sterilization or a doctor's note that said that she was not of childbearing age. They would not count her income, because the underwriting criteria was that if you got pregnant, you were obviously going to quit your job. So it was not that long ago. That's only in the 70s.
Wow.
And so people sometimes, one of the things that I think has happened within the industry, and let's talk about this, because I know you're a very optimistic person, and I am too.
Right.
There is from some people, there's a sense that we're living in a terrible time, which actually, statistics have borne out, it couldn't be further from the truth. We are living in a magical time where we have unprecedented opportunities, not just as women, men and women together. This is not an anti-man, like, you know, I mean, really, it's
absolutely,
we have the choice. And to have, for people to think that they don't have hope of changing their financial situation, that to me is the saddest thing ever.
It is to me as well, Karen. And because, you know, I think it's even easier now than it ever has been before.
Yes.
To do that. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the fact that there are so many entrepreneur opportunities out there.
Yes.
There really are. I mean, the way that business is being, you know, is being, that the models, the business models of today are so different that it allows anyone really to get
anyone.
In. Yes, yeah. Anyone.
And there's another thing that I think is happening, the phenomenon of social media, where people compare themselves. Comparison is the absolute, I think that's the thief of success.
I agree.
And the founder of eWomen Network, Sandra Yancey, dear friend, amazing woman, built a multi-million dollar business helping entrepreneurs throughout the world. And I love one of her quotes, which is, don't compare your beginning to somebody else's middle.
Oh, that's a good
entrepreneurial
one.
It's a journey. And people need to remember, with social media, that you're looking at the highlights. Okay. It's like it's the Christmas newsletter. You send out a Christmas newsletter to somebody. You don't talk about the struggles that you had. You're not talking about that. Oh my God, my kid, you know, I caught him ditching school. You know, you don't talk about that in the Christmas newsletter.
Right.
You talk about we're happy and we're healthy and hope you're doing well.
Right. It's a snippet. It's just one piece of the picture. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that whole comparison thing. I'm trying to start with my grandchildren while they're young, getting away from that whole comparison thing. So when my grandkids say, well, you know, he got this and how come I didn't get that? And, you know, everybody else got this or whatever. And I've been telling them, you know what? We're not comparing. This is not about comparison. What is it that you need? Let's address what you need. And trying to get them to focus on that as opposed to comparing what they have to what somebody else has. Because their needs may be different. Oh. It's not the same.
And the other one, right as you're saying that, and I think and I hear this from some people, it's not fair. It's not fair. And I would actually say when I'd hear that when Allison was young, it's not fair. And I'm like, and your point is?
Right.
You're right. It's not fair. So what are you going to do about it? You
exactly.
know, next. Let's talk about next. I also brought in, this is something that I'm going to absolutely recommend to all of our listeners, an amazing book by Larry Broughton. Now, it's already Amazon number one bestseller, but the name of the book is called Victory. And Larry Broughton, which is, again, is spelled B-R-O-U-G-H-T-O-N. I mean, his background is just absolutely amazing. So I'm going to just tell a little bit on the back of his on the back of the book. Former U.S. Army Staff Sergeant, serving 8 years on Special Forces A teams, commonly known as the Green Berets. Larry has parlayed the lessons learned from his time in service to his country and applied them to the business arena. He is the founder and CEO of Broughton Hotels, a leader in the boutique hotel industry, and Ugozi.com, an inspirational online learning forum for leaders and high achievers. And one of the things that I love about meeting him in person and getting a chance to know him is I loved one of the comments he said about the alpha male. He goes, he says the alpha male to him is the most loving person ever because that alpha male will lay their life down for you, that they will put everybody else's needs in front of their own. And yet here in some of our areas within society, we are maligning the strong. And he said alpha male, but he actually corrected it a little bit. He goes, it's not just alpha male. It's alpha female too. Like, are you stepping into your leadership roles? What are you doing?
Right.
You know, and I think about people saying, you know, playing small and the I can't or I don't know how. I don't know how is fine. The how question is fine. The I can't question that's where I go a little, like, start twitching, right? So let's talk about some resources that are here in Tucson. I've got a few of them, and I know you do too. So some of the resources that I tell people to do, if you're thinking about starting a business, there is this amazing tool that actually has a double-edged sword, but it's an amazing tool called the internet. We'll start there, okay? You can actually look at some things about starting a business. So one of the other resources here is the Small Business Administration.
Right.
The Small Business Administration is there to help small businesses. Yeah, hence the name Small Business Administration. But there's a really goofy thing that our federal government has done is that they didn't really give them a line item budget for marketing, which I think is just hysterical.
Right.
However, but there is a woman and a dear friend, and she's been a guest on our show before. We're going to have her on again. But her name is Karen Burns, not Karen Fisher, but Karen Burns. And Karen Burns is available at an extraordinary cost of free sits on the campus at Pima College, and you can go in there and she can help you with your business plan. Karen, I've known for many, many years. She's got 35 years business banking experience. She will sit down with you and she'll talk about, let's talk about your balance sheet. And people will come in and they say, I don't have a balance sheet, or I don't know what a balance sheet is. I know that that makes you crazy as a CFO, but I love what she said. She goes, everyone has a balance sheet.
Right.
Okay. It's your assets and your liabilities. It could be your personal assets and your personal strength. Let's talk about that. And she breaks it down in a very non-judgmental way. She's worked in the micro lending industry where, I mean, sometimes she was doing loans that were $100.
Wow.
To help people start their business. She has worked with people that were just starting with a taco cart,
And that's nice because sometimes that's all it takes for somebody to get started, you know? And there really aren't a lot of resources out there for that small, you know, that small need. Mm-hmm. So that's really nice.
They actually call it the Micro Business Advancement Center. That's what she,
nice.
And they do these miniature small loans. And so what are some of the other resources that you know about? I know that's from your own company that certainly if you've got anything where you've got credit card or debit card processing, you need merchant services.
Right, right. So, I mean, I use a variety of resources. You know, there are a number of business coaches in town and they range in pricing and range in kind of areas of expertise. And so I always, you know, I encourage people to take advantage of that kind of coaching if they're feeling like that one-on-one is really what they really need to get started. One of the things that I recommend for people is a program called Landmark. And Landmark is an amazing program. They have a course called the Landmark Forum. And the reason I encourage this, it's very much about personal growth. But what we learn and what you take away from that program, you'll be able to use in all aspects of your life. And it's really helped me in business as well as my personal life. But it really begins to teach us about how to look at things for what they really are and getting rid of the story and the meaning that we put to things. Because as human beings, that's what we do. And sometimes that trips us up because we put meanings to things or we create a story around something because that's the way our brains work. But then we live life as if it's true. And that can really, really trip us up.
Oh,
and
yes.
So I highly recommend just kind of like as a base course to do the Landmark Forum. And then, you know, I have come across many resources across the internet, right, and through email marketing. And I've come across some really good ones. I just did one several weekends ago up in Phoenix. And it's from Success America Resource, which is one of the largest trainings outfits in the United States. And it was an entire weekend course. It was $97 for the VIP tickets, which included lunch and all these extra things. And for the price, honestly, I didn't think I was going to get a lot out of it, but I went to go look for the golden nuggets because that's what I do. I go look for the nuggets.
Yes, that's what I do too.
Right?
Yeah.
It was amazing. I got so much more out of it than I ever
thought
I would.
So repeat that one so they can write it down again.
It's called the program. It's come from Success Resource America. I'm sorry. Success Resource America. And this particular program was called Millionaire Mindset Intensive.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was really, really good. It was very interactive and that's a good resource.
So what's one of the golden nuggets that you got from the Millionaire Mindset? You got a great one?
Pick one. Well, one of the things that I thought was really, really good is they actually gave us a money management system. So they actually said, you know, this is how, and it's all based on percentages. So whatever your income is, this is how it should be split up. And you pay yourself first.
Yes, that's critical, listeners.
Which is your financial freedom account, right? And then, you know, you have all these different pieces like your necessities, which is your bills and all of that kind of stuff. You have your long-term savings for spending. So when you're going to save up to buy something, right? Everything's got a plan. You have your play account. And the one rule around the play account is that you spend the money every month, all of it, every month.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. And then they have a give account. I mean, and they have some rules around each one and how to manage it. That to me was huge. I thought that was huge. I come from you know, money management background, but for me personally, it's a little different. Like I treat it differently. And so it made me realize that no, I'm not different. I need to do the same money management concept for myself. And having that blueprint, right, I thought was really, really good.
Well, that piece is awesome. That is huge. The other thing that I know, just a couple of resources that are actually really great, is Craig Deswalt, who is the one that introduced me to Larry Broughton. He just finished up his last, so he's got a really interesting story. His background was he was the band manager for Guns N' Roses. So
really?
The joke is that he said that he was Axl Rose's personal babysitter, but that, you know, Axl Rose was actually some of the things. But then he also did, oh my gosh, he'll kill me because I can't remember. Also with Air Supply. So, you know, I mean, for years out of this background as far as the rock and the marketing and things like that. So
right.
He's huge as far as putting events together, and he's huge as far as doing this. Well, he has assembled, you know, I met him through eWomen Network, which is an international organization. I recommend everybody check out eWomen Network.
It's amazing.
It is an amazing organization. It's like a smorgasbord, whether you, and in terms of the business, what you're starting with, every business goes through these six phases. And this is that you are in a startup phase, you are in struggle, you are in success. After success comes scale, okay, and then sell. I said six, but there's really five. Yeah, that new math. But, you know, wherever you are within the business, and it's a cycle that's repeating itself because each year, we're coming up on the new year. Each year, people will set New Year's resolutions, they'll set goals and things like that. But right. I like to do the wheel of life. What areas in your life are you looking at? You know, because we're not one-dimensional beings,
right.
We're multidimensional. And you could be rocking it at work, and your home life could be a disaster. Or you could be great at both home and life. And your physical condition, you're not in good health. You're not in good shape.
That's right.
You know, that's one of the big journeys that I'm having. One of the nuggets that I have is that true understanding that self-care
is important.
Not selfish.
Right.
Because you got to put the oxygen mask on yourself first,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's such a great analogy.
So that is huge. The other great areas within Tucson, for example, go and visit a BNI, Business Network International chapter. It's going to cost you 10, maybe, I don't know, some of them might charge $20 to be a visitor, but 10 to 20 bucks, and you're going to get to meet anywhere from 20 to 50 people at one fell swoop. You know, just go and check. I think there's 14 or 18 chapters, something like that. Go and check that out. Another great tool is Toastmasters International, because some people are afraid to do public speaking. They're not comfortable with it. Like, I could talk all day long. No worries there. But right. Toastmasters is a great tool. I know my husband's in international sales. And one of the things that he did early, early on in his career when we lived up in Gilbert, he was still in college at the time, he went to Toastmasters. He had somebody that he knew, liked, and trusted and respected that person. And he went to Toastmasters. And it gave him such a gift to be able, because he does a lot of presentations, sometimes in front of huge audiences.
Right.
Another great resource that people should really check out is make sure that you get with a competent business attorney. Do your work. If you're going to start something and you're going to brand something and you're going to trademark something, check to see if the trademark has been used by somebody else in the past. You know, do your homework. You don't want to invest thousands and thousands of dollars into what you think is a great brand idea all of a sudden to get a cease and desist letter from somebody in another state or another country.
Right. And I think one of the big keys too is understanding that nobody does it alone.
Yes.
You
were reading my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And so to either, whether you're working with a business coach or whether you have an accountability partner or a committed listener or someone else that you just buddy up with, but you need to expand beyond your own self. Yes,
and I talk about creating your own personal board of directors.
There you go.
I have a board of directors that I have. I do have a business coach. Summit Funding is very big on coaching. We jokingly say that we're an education company that just happens to do loans, because that's what we're like. We're a huge growth company, which, by the way, listeners, we are hiring. So if you know of somebody, I'm actually interviewing right now for an executive assistant. So if anybody's, you can forward this podcast, you got to work. You got to work hard, but it'll be fun and it'll be worth it.
Right. That's funny you say that. And ACN, our saying is that we are a personal growth company with a compensation package attached.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That is just awesome.
So we do a lot of personal growth in ACN, yeah.
So the other is our chambers of commerce.
Yes.
You can look at the Chamber of Commerce. You can go online. They've got tons of classes. So create your board of directors. So some of the things, let's talk about on the board of directors. I'm going to tell you who I think that you have to have for starting any business. Please get an accountant.
Right.
Okay. No disrespect to TurboTax, because it's a great tool and maybe it can be a great estimator. But if you're a business person, you need an accountant, because you don't know what you don't know.
Right. Exactly. And you know, the thing about any kind of a business is that you can't be the expert in everything. And so what you do is you make sure that you hire the people, right? And I do that with air quotes.
Yeah, with air quotes.
You
yes.
hire the people to do the areas that you're not an expertise in. And so you could use that same concept with your own personal board of directors. Again, I'm using air quotes. So that those are the kinds of people you want in there. Someone that can do the accounting, someone or that knows about accounting that you can go to. Somebody who has some maybe legal knowledge or some experience with the same process that you're going through. And they can kind of guide you to say, at least say, okay, this is something I did that didn't work. Here's something I did that did work, right? And it may not be the only place you go, but at least it's a start. And I really just kind of really highly recommend just talking about letting people know, the people that you're around, know what you're up to. Because when people know what you're up to, then they're going to be in a position to help you, to direct you,
yes.
to recommend, to connect you with people that will help you. You know, don't keep it all to yourself.
Well, and the other thing, when you're saying keeping it all to yourself, and as far as people that are going to help you, oftentimes, and I know this is going to hurt some people's feelings, but oftentimes the person you shouldn't be talking to are family members, your family and friends, because what happens is people see you. I'll never forget. And believe me, I love my grandfather dearly, but I do remember when I was in real estate. So this is in the mid 80s. I was a realtor. Actually, at that time I was an associate broker, and I was actually ranked in the top 0.5% of the entire nation
wow.
for productivity.
Nice.
So, but and I at the very beginning, I was a little bit annoyed that my own family and some of my own friends didn't use me. Like I'm really, really good, and they didn't use me. Well, anyhow, I remember my grandfather giving me a referral, and it was very low-end property. It was, you know, I mean, I'm always gracious and kind to everybody, but it was definitely not in my wheelhouse, right? And it was very low-end manufactured home. It's like that was not my target market. Well, the rest of the story is that I later on kind of asked why, and I came to the realization that my grandfather, as much as he loved me, he still saw me and would tell the stories of me being that 10-year-old girl being brave enough to jump off of the high dive. Like, he didn't see me as far as that area. So be careful about who you seek the counsel from.
Yes.
I think a very, very important tip for all business people is to inspect what you expect.
Right.
So you're working with the CPA. You delegate, you don't abdicate.
Right.
And then find out areas that you're really strong in. What's the one, I'll tell you, the one area that I have fired myself from is is just the basic filing and paperwork and bookkeeping. Like, I'm really good because I can see things quickly. That's the Virgo in me, if you will. But that's not my highest and best use of my time.
Right. Yeah. And that's really, really important to make sure that we are spending our time wisely. And I want to go back to something you said also about making, you know, being careful about who you are talking to. Because you don't want to take business advice from somebody who's never done that business.
Yeah.
And I see that happen quite often. Yeah. You know.
Oh, that's hysterical because I remember one time there was another friend of mine who it was actually two surgeons and they were talking, but it was a loan officer friend of mine, and they were giving them advice whether to float the interest rate or lock in the interest rate, and the word on the streets and what was happening in the market was to lock. And the surgeon actually called the loan officer as he's getting ready to go into the operating room and said, you know, I was talking to my friend who's also a surgeon, and he says that I should float. And I'll never forget what Bill told him. He says, well, that's great advice. And the next time that I'm going in for surgery, I'm going to call my loan officer friend and ask where to cut.
Right.
He goes, oh, great. Point well taken. Lock the loan. And he was completely right. Because if he had listened to his friend's advice, the other surgeon, and well-meaning, it was
right.
Well-meaning.
Absolutely. It's not. Yeah.
So, yeah. So what are some other really great, who else should you have on your board of directors? I know the accountant. I know typically the bookkeeper. I think you need an attorney. You definitely need, you know, and you may not have to have, you know, an attorney on counsel that's on retainer, but go and talk to somebody about your business plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think people who have a wide span of influence, because they're going to be able to connect you to the people you need.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. As far as that. So you're not going to believe this, but we're almost done.
Wow.
Yes.
That went
always,
really quick.
I know. It always happens. The 1 hour is very, very quick. So, please leave our listeners. So I always have a fun question. Number one, what's your favorite color?
Oh, my favorite color is pink.
Pink.
Yeah.
Okay. I love pink.
And I just got that from by deduction because I have a lot of pink in my life. So it must be my favorite color.
Okay. Pink as far as your favorite color. And do you have a favorite flower?
Oh, gosh, that's hard. My yard is full of flowers. I love flowers. I would say my favorite I really can't say. Probably lilies.
Lilies. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's super cool. All right. And then I would just love for you to leave our listeners with one last golden nugget, as you said, so that and be sure to forward the podcast for everybody. We'll get all of Roxanne's information up on the site. And tell us what else, just that one golden nugget as we wrap up the hour.
Well, I would think that, you know, to me, I think the biggest golden nugget is for people just to be open-minded. Just don't be afraid to learn and hear about something. You can always turn around and walk away from it.
Yes.
Right? But if you don't know what you don't know, then you really miss out. I think people miss out on a lot of opportunities that way. And some of those opportunities can change their life forever in a good way.
In a good way. Yeah. That's absolutely. Yeah. And I've witnessed that you were, you know, just as far as the things that you're able to do and how you're supporting your family and the choice and just that glow that you have. So,
well, thank you so much for having
you.
Me here today.
Well,
Karen.
We're very, very excited. Again, thank you so much to our listeners. I am wrapping up. This is Karen Fisher, and I am your hostess of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. And we broadcast in the Tucson Business Radio X station, which is located in the Stewart Title corporate offices. So without further ado, everybody have a very, very happy and wonderful Thanksgiving. And Karen Fisher out.